Hello, and welcome to the Motina Books Podcast. We publish books by and for mothers, and there's a special place in our heart for single mothers. My name is Diane Windsor. I'm the founder of Motina Books, and I also lead a large single parent support group here in North Texas. Single Side Up is a single parent support program that is part of the nonprofit family strengthening organization, This Side Up Family. We are the largest and most active single parent group in North Texas. In this podcast, we will discuss our books, our authors, and issues affecting single parents. If you have written or want to write a book, or if you'd like to discuss an issue that pertains to single parent families, please feel free to reach out to us. Hello, and welcome to our fifth episode of the Motina Books Podcast. Today is April 24th, and it is a beautiful day in North Texas. We've had some rain and some thunderstorms over the past few days, but today was just gorgeous. And I am really excited that on this episode of the podcast, we are going to be talking with Carrie Stewart. Carrie is the author of one of our best-selling books. It's entitled How to Interview Like You've Done It Before. And it is a guide to help students and young adults with career success for the rest of their lives. This is a really important issue, in my opinion, because so many kids really don't know how to go about interviewing or applying for their first job, whether they're still in high school, maybe in college, or if they're all done with school and it's time to get that first job and to start their career. So Carrie's book is a wonderful book that includes a workbook section for each chapter, and that is very helpful because people can record their thoughts. They can make lists, make sure that they've got everything written down, all their ducks are in a row, and it's an excellent book. So let's go ahead and listen to our conversation with Carrie. Carrie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today about your book. It's entitled How to Interview Like You've Done It Before, A Student's Guide to Interviewing and Career Success. And this has been one of my favorites for a long time because I really believe that kids today and young adults really have no idea how to go about finding a job when they decide they want to do it.
Well, thanks for talking with me today, Diane. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you like my book.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
I would agree with you, too, that I see a lot of kids kind of stumble. It's really hard, I think, when they first start out and they don't have any experience at all. They've never, ever had a job before.
Right. And so what's your background? I know that you've been in HR for a long time, right?
Yeah, I started about 20 years ago in human resources, and I actually started out interviewing people at a Fortune 500 organization. And so I interviewed a lot of people. We were an employer of choice, so there were always lots of people that applied for our jobs.
So you've seen it all, probably, haven't you?
Seen a lot of interesting people.
I'm sure. That's great.
And many of our jobs that we would post where we'd hire four or five people for a position, customer service, things like that.
Right.
They're primarily a lot of young people. Not necessarily their very first job, but pretty early in their career.
So like recent college grads, maybe?
Yes. A lot of recent college grads, too.
And I know that your book is really geared towards, it could be a high school student or it could be a college student who's decided to look for their first job.
Correct. It's an all-around tool, and really it could apply to adults that haven't been in the workplace for a while that are looking for
That's true.
That entry-level job. It's intended to be a workbook with a swing towards things that where I saw people were just wholly unprepared for an interview, period.
Right. So what kind of things would you see when you were doing this 20 years ago? Like, if you had a person who was just unprepared, what would that look like to you?
They were nervous and they wouldn't answer the questions. They would say things that really didn't give a quality answer. I think in part because they were afraid to do that. So if we were asking about conflict, how they dealt with conflict and in any number of ways, they would just say they didn't have any.
I never have a conflict with anybody. Everybody likes me. And so I don't have to worry about conflicts. That's funny.
Yeah, that's an because answer I've actually had a couple times.
Is that right? Yeah, I love it. I love it. Because, I mean, the truth is we all have conflicts. It's, you can't get away from it, but it's how you deal with it in a professional environment that, you know, you need to know how to handle it the right way.
Correct. And then summing that up in a way that an interviewer can process it.
Right, right.
And there's no really right or wrong way. Well, there kind of is, I guess. But there's no particular way that is necessarily bad to solve a conflict unless it becomes,
sure,
you solve it through physical aggression or something like that.
That would be a problem.
But
that
we would all
be a problem.
We kind of get that that's not appropriate in the workplace. So
exactly.
You solve it by using a mediator, or you solve it one-on-one, or you get your boss involved. I mean, early on in a person's career, there's not necessarily, as long as you can say you resolved it in one way or another, there's no real right or way wrong. Right or wrong
right.
way to do that.
You know, you mentioned people who have been out of the workplace for a while, adults who have been out of the workplace for a while, that this would come in handy. And we do, you do cover social media and the internet in your book. And I think that's a huge issue these days. You know, people post whatever they feel like on their Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And employers look at that.
They do. Unless you have your social media, and some of it you can and some of it you can't, keep more or less private. It's best to not be controversial. And
exactly.
At least until you get the job. And then even after you become employed, more and more employers are having some pretty strict social media policies and code of conduct
right.
policies in
oh,
the
I'm
workplace.
Sure.
So...
Mm-hmm.
As on the other side of my consulting career, I've seen people have problems because they've posted things on social media and it's caused a conflict for their employer, hence causing a problem for the employee.
Right.
So
people will say things like about their employer on Facebook or something, and
even about an issue that affects their product or their service. That
okay.
maybe even unrelated to the employer, but it does affect
oh.
does affect what's happening in the workplace.
Wow!
So it could be just about anything. There's lots of conflict out there in the world. So
sure.
And I'm
sure.
not saying you shouldn't deal with your conflict and you shouldn't have your issues. What I'm saying is you just want to be careful how you put it out for the world to see.
Of course. Oh, absolutely. And so that, I think that's a really good point with the internet and social media today. Parents who want to, you know, try to help their young adult or teenagers try to find their first job, they might not know the right way to counsel them, to advise them, right?
Potentially.
I can see that happening. Yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
And so like 11 years ago when my oldest son was 15, I remember I was on his case. I'm like, you need to go get a job. You know, you're not, he wasn't really an extracurricular kid. So it was, I think he needed to get a job, I thought at that time. But he's like, Mom, I don't know how. I do not know how. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so I think your book really helps teenagers and college students, you know, who need to know the steps. So we go through.
We do go step by step.
And step by step, exactly.
It's pretty thorough. A person, you know, if somebody really already had a resume, they could just review that and go on to the interviewing piece. And people need help in different pieces and parts. But if you've really never had a job, this is a great way to say, okay, here's a resource that I have. It's a book,
right.
So yeah, you have to read it, but it has the work pages in it too, so it'll help really develop that out.
Those are very helpful, right? Exactly, where people can make notes and answer questions, and make their checklists. Those are very, very helpful. I did talk to a recruiter about a year ago, a recruiter here in Texas, and we talked about what it's like when younger people are looking for a job. And he said that he has recent college grads who are like programmer types, so maybe not quite as outgoing and gregarious as other folks. And really, they'll show up to interviews not dressed appropriately, not knowing how to even talk to somebody, not even knowing how to shake somebody's hand. And I know that you go through all of that in the book.
Yeah, and I think there's, every job kind of has their culture too. So if you're applying for a programmer position, you're going to actually look and carry yourself and answer your questions differently than somebody that's applying for an insurance customer sales position.
Of course, of course.
So,
But you still want to put your best foot forward, right? You want to
absolutely,
dress
absolutely.
professionally
We want to
and
be clean, and we talk about what I saw as a good, at least recipe for what to wear to an interview for anybody. I've had
right.
when I was interviewing technical people, some of them would show up in some fairly inappropriate clothes. Although I have to say, I've had people show up in fairly inappropriate clothes in almost every position I've ever interviewed for. So,
Don't you wonder what these people are thinking? That's just crazy.
the Oscar the Grouch pajama shorts were my
No.
favorite. So I
To an
think,
interview? The Oscar the Grouch pajama shorts. Wow. That's amazing.
it was amazing.
Amazing.
So
Wow.
you never know what's going to come in your door when you're interviewing. It was one of the best jobs I
Right.
ever had. But really what I learned is that they really need to think about where they're going and who they're, and that it's serious. I think
Right.
sometimes people think, well, this is just fun. I'm going to go meet these people and I've got really great skills. But if you don't present yourself in a way that is acceptable to their culture in an interviewing situation, you, as a programmer, a person may be able to wear sweatpants or something like that in the workplace. But when you're
Right.
interviewing for a job, it's important to look like you're interviewing for a job and that you're taking it seriously.
Absolutely, absolutely. I heard a radio advertisement several years ago, but Six Flags down here in Texas was doing their summer hiring, and they had like a job fair, and they invited, students to come. But if you showed up wearing like shorts and flip-flops, I don't think they wanted to talk to you. I heard about that. And it's like only the people who are really dressed professionally and who looked serious, they were the ones who were getting the good interviews.
And I suspect that's
So,
probably true. I think that
yeah.
if you're dressed at least within our recipe for our what we call the uniform, what we call the uniform was pretty broad. But if you fall within that recipe, I think you're pretty safe. And what
Right.
it really tells the interviewer, while it's not important that you show up wearing, the latest designer suit, it's important that you're clean and that you're wrinkle-free and that their body's covered. It shows that you have some dignity and self-respect for yourself as well as the interviewer. Wearing things, a lot of women like to show off their assets. And really, that doesn't work in an interview. It puts the interviewer in a bad situation. It's the bad situation being that they could be accused of sexual harassment,
Absolutely.
and that's a situation that we don't want anybody to be in. So you're less likely to get a job if you're using your assets than you are if you. With a big company, I can't say what little small companies are doing, but with a big company, you're less likely to get a job than you are with that technique.
I would think that even smaller to medium-sized companies are not going to be too thrilled about that.
That's true. That's true. You're
That's
right.
my hunch. That's my
You're
guess.
right. Well, I'm thinking teeny tiny company, mom and pop kind of
That
kind
could
of
be,
places.
sure.
And I'm not real sure what training they get on interviewing or what they know about other things as well. But any professional organization is going to be very uncomfortable with those
Right.
kind of situations.
Exactly. So, and also when somebody has decided that they want to make a move to a different job, the way they leave a job is very important too. I know when my daughter was in high school, she worked for movie theaters and also a couple of retail stores, and people would just decide that they weren't going to show up anymore. They just weren't going to come to work anymore. Or else they might just send a text to the boss and said, "You know what? I'm not working here anymore." And I can't believe that. I think even in a student's job, like a high school job, a part-time weekend job, you still have to be respectful and understand that when you leave, you're probably leaving them in the lurch at least for a week or so. So give a week or two notice, right?
It's best if you can do that. And, sometimes an employer will say, well, I've got somebody ready behind you, depending on the nature of the job you're leaving. But most of the time,
Right.
they want you to stay around for a little while just to cover their bases, so you're not leaving them hanging. And that starts the reputation of your career. It's not just working at a restaurant or a fast food or anything like that. It's
Right.
about the reputation that you build, your personal brand. And so, yes, you're right. Leaving a job is just important as how you get the job, because eventually those people will be your references. So
Exactly.
being responsible while you're on a job includes showing up on time for work, not leaving early for work, working while you're at work, and then when you're ready to leave that job, that you at least let them know that you're moving on, and give them a reasonable amount of time. A week or two is usually, 20. 2 weeks is
It's
pretty common.
plenty.
It's pretty
Right,
common,
right.
yeah. Really,
Yeah.
managers and executives, more than 2 weeks is kind of expected. But really, for most everybody else, 2 weeks is pretty common.
Right, exactly. And probably in a restaurant or a movie theater job, they'll probably be happy if you give a 1 week notice too, I would imagine. Just don't leave them
Really.
hanging and say, "Oh, I'm not coming in. I don't want to work here anymore."
Yeah, I'm not doing my next shift. I'm not coming in
Right.
tomorrow or tonight.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of people. We see people a lot of leave jobs for, just a quarter more, an hour, things like that. Well, that's all good. But again, you're leaving the job. And you don't want to leave people hanging. And
Exactly.
it's all about responsibility and respect. And
Respect. Yep.
if you respect yourself, you will do the right thing and have some integrity. And
Exactly.
that integrity starts to build with your very first job and how you treat it. And
Exactly.
there are people that are mistreated in their very first job, but that doesn't mean that they have to act in a way where they are irresponsible.
Exactly. And I love in your book, you've got a section called Calendar of Your First 30 Days. And you talk about, what you should be doing the first, second, third, and fourth weeks. And I think that this is valuable to anybody starting a new job. I mean, this is something I don't think that people are ever taught. They're just kind of winging it,
Yeah.
right? Unless they get
Right,
step-by-step
right.
guidance from their supervisor. But this is a wonderful guide for
And
young people.
it's probably more suited for an office environment, but most certainly some field jobs could absolutely apply to. And
Sure.
I watch people. The first 30 days on the job is critical, because again, it's about that personal brand and integrity,
Yep.
and it sets the stage for how you'll be treated for your time there.
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
if you're on time every day for your first 30 days, and you stay your entire shift, and you're late on your 31st day because there's a train or an accident or something that's backing you up from getting there, 99% of employers will just go, Well, that's just not normal for you to be late. So clearly this
Right.
was true. It goes
Yeah.
to your integrity.
Right.
That's just an
Right.
example.
No, that's a great example. Excellent. Well, Carrie, I know that you have to get going, but thank you so much for spending the time with us.
You're welcome.
And
Thank you for calling me.
sure. And I hope that we can get the word out about how to interview like you've done it before. I think it's a really great asset to people, young and old, who are looking for their first job or their 10th job, and it's really valuable for your entire career.
Well, I thank you for calling, and I enjoyed writing the book, and I hope it helps people.
Great. Alrighty, so there's our interview with Carrie Storr, and she's just a great lady. She is so smart. She has so many years of experience in HR and mediation, and to have all of her many years of knowledge in this book that is really meant to help younger people, it's just a wonderful resource. And I love that I was able to publish it for her, and it's available at motinabooks.com, motinabooks.com. We will talk to you next time. Thank you very much.